You're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. I'm Austin Meek from WacoBusinessNews.com, and later in the show, you'll hear my conversation with Taina Maya of KWTX News 10 this morning. Taina pulls back the curtain on anchoring a morning show and gives tips on how to snuff out the fake news in your feed. But first, it's the word on the street. Jane Jacobs would have turned 101 yesterday, and groups across the world are taking to sidewalks to honor her legacy. Jacobs is the patron saint of new urbanism, the planning movement that promotes environmentally friendly habits by creating walkable neighborhoods with mixed uses. Ashley Thornton, who you hear on KWBU promoting local activities on Act Locally Waco, organizes neighborhood walks through her group Waco Walks. She finds one person to lead the charge and share stories specific to that area, telling tales of neighborhoods that might have been lost had Jacobs not fought for their existence back in the 1950s.
It was a time in New York when Robert Moses, who was one of the urban planners in New York, was putting in the highway system. And this highway system, as it was going into New York, was just plowing under a lot of the older neighborhoods. And Jane Jacobs lived in one of these older neighborhoods and decided to stand up and fight against her neighborhood being destroyed by putting in the highway system.
We still see vestiges of Robert Moses's antiquated modernist city planning today. In downtown Waco, the one-way thoroughfares on streets like Franklin, Washington, 4th, and 5th harken back to a time when cities were designed for automobiles more than people. Jacobs pioneered many ideas we consider common today, encouraging people to shop locally, strengthening bonds between neighbors to create greater community, and preserving the cultural elements that make neighborhoods unique.
She ended up actually writing a book about how important it was for neighborhoods to be more organic, for people to know each other, for people to be able to be out on the street, seeing each other and interacting with each other.
That book, The Death and Life of Great American Cities, has become one of the seminal texts in the study of urbanism and city planning. I got a copy as a Christmas present from Scott Rohrman, a Baylor grad whose company, 42 Real Estate, has spearheaded the revitalization of Dallas's Deep Ellum neighborhood by employing Jacobs' principles. She writes, "Cities have the capability of providing something for everybody only because and only when they are created by everybody." Her mission is carried on today by community lovers across the country who've organized Jane's Walks in her honor.
Citizen-led neighborhood walks, where people just walk around their neighborhood, bring people with them, show them all their favorite things in the neighborhood, just kind of get to know each other and celebrate neighbors and community by walking.
Waco Walks usually hosts one event per month, but they're pulling out all the stops in May. You can join in two walks tomorrow. One meets at 10 a.m. at St. Francis on the Brazos, that beautiful Catholic church at 4th and Jefferson close to the river, where walkers will tour the historic Calle Dos neighborhood and learn more about Hispanic heritage in Waco.
And then in the afternoon, starting at 1 o'clock, there's going to be a walk in the Sanger Heights neighborhood, which is one of the most vibrant, diverse, cool neighborhoods in town that also just happens to have some of the most beautiful houses in town.
A third walk has been scheduled for May 11th on the 64th anniversary of the downtown Waco tornado. Eric Ames, curator of digital collections in Baylor University's Electronic Library, will lead walkers through downtown and show how the impact of this natural disaster is still felt today. Since you're listening to this show, you probably start your mornings getting the news from Brody Bashaw, KWBU. But if you're a visual learner, then there's no better source in Central Texas than Taina Maya. The KWTX news anchor dropped by our studio earlier this week to talk about life on the job. So happy to have you. I love starting every interview by hearing people's Waco stories. So tell me a little bit about what brought you to the area and specifically what ended up landing you at the TV show.
So my job brought me to the area. I have been wanting to be a news anchor since I was in fifth grade. I was the girl who gave the morning announcements with the cafeteria that was finally on videotape for my entire elementary school to see. And since then, since the days of Regency Place television with your meatloaf and three sides, I then decided news was really what I wanted to do. I did a fast track to get through college and had a great internship. Went to Beaumont, met the man of my dreams, and then left him to come to Waco. So in this business, you normally sign a contract, and so you're there for a certain amount of time, and then you jump from one station to the next to kind of climb that ladder.
Yeah.
And that landed me here, where a great man named Virgil Teeter called me at like 7:30 in the morning and said, "How would you like to be a morning news anchor?" And I said, "Are you kidding me?" And because I was a hard news girl. And yeah. So that was just not my style, not what I thought I was meant to do. And he said, "If you have... you have excellent passion. If you just put it into the focus of waking people up and starting their day," he goes, "you can do this." And here we are, 6 years later.
When you were in Beaumont, what were you covering?
I was all hard news and investigative. I was their night side anchor. I was uncovering a lot of wrongdoings by police departments, by EMS officials, city officials. I was a girl who was chasing people down with the camera. They were shutting the doors in my face.
Wow.
It was pretty tough.
Do you miss that thrill?
Absolutely. That is what I thrive on, is just being able to, you know, really figure out what's going on. I want people to know that, you know, people can give answers, that you are allowed an answer. And if someone shuts the door in your face, don't just turn away and walk, you know. Go back there and keep trying to find your answer. Everyone deserves justice in some sense. And so I felt like it. That was so rewarding for me to be able to provide answers to people who were being, you know, either cheated money or scammed, those things like that.
So what's the mentality shift from being a reporter covering a specific beat to doing more general morning news?
You have to know a lot more about a lot.
Really?
Just reading, I read so much, whether it be online.
So what are your sources? Yeah, give me some resources.
Okay,
our listeners listening to Taina Maya in the morning, where do you get your news?
I get my news... different places. I go, let's see, I go New York Times, I go LA, I go Dallas Morning News, I go the Waco Trib, I go even down to Lariat. Temple Daily Telegram has some excellent talented writers. Austin Statesman, Texas Tribune, all kinds of places. I mean, if it's Texas, you know, Texas Tribune and Dallas Morning News normally have it on lock, in addition to the Cron. But nationwide, there are some big media outlets. CBS News, forme.com is where I go.
And so you spend the night before your show culling all this information, and then in the morning do you show up with the script, or you have producers who are writing stuff? Take us behind the curtain.
Yeah, so people always ask, what time do you get there? I get to work at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I have two amazing girls who are there overnight, and they are the ones that are coming through, stacking that show, putting things in order of importance, writing all the scripts. When we get there at 3, we're kind of like, all right, we don't like this, we don't like that. And we kind of mold things together. We also get the show to sound like us. I talk a certain way, Pete talks another way. And if you were just to hand me a script, I'd fumble over it just like you would if you handed me a book I've never read. So I have to be able to rehearse those, make them sound just like me. And then probably around 4 o'clock, I go do my makeup. I do it on our own. People really think we have news.
You do your own makeup?
Yes, of course.
Wow, independent woman. I love it.
This is Central Texas. I don't even think Dallas has makeup people anymore. They're cutting budgets, you know, left and right. Go do my makeup. Brady does his makeup next to me. We makeup partners.
That's beautiful.
And cut some radio spots, and then we're ready to get on the air pretty quick.
There's so much mystery behind media, quote unquote. Like the people who aren't in TV or radio or film, there's just this like really cool aura about someone who you've seen on a screen before. But it's interesting to sort of have the, you know, the curtain revealed a little bit. You're there doing your own makeup, showing up every morning at 3 a.m. I'm sure you look pretty different when you arrive at 3 a.m.
What are you saying?
When you get on at 6 a.m.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Do you look different when you wake up to right now?
Hey, I just roll out of bed looking like this.
Everyone
has been gifted
this way. I roll out of bed looking like this, too. Oh, for those of you listening, you can go to my Facebook. I'll post a real picture. I'm an open book. If you know me, I'm an open book. I do put on some makeup, yes. It's mainly just for those studio lights and HD cameras. But, you know, I'm just as real as it gets, because if I can get away with not wearing makeup, I will.
Well, that's something that I've always appreciated about you. And the 2 years that I've gotten to know you, we've done a few things for KWTX with Pokios. And you've always been super authentic, super sweet, and super honest. And that's something that's so important. Whether it's a morning show or someone bringing the evening heat, you have to be willing to tell the facts in the way that they are. How do you, as a journalist, sift through this is a right slanted piece, this is a left slanted piece, and how do you make sure that you're bringing the news to the people of Central Texas?
That's an excellent question. So a lot of times when you read, since I'm not writing this story, the producers are writing it, I go into every story with just like a blank slate, and I'm processing it with every single sentence. I mean, they'd say I rip stories apart. That's what my producers say. And I do, and it's because I feel like I have to be able to speak clearly about the issue. What is the issue? Tell me how it was responded to, and tell me what the other side said to that response. Don't tell me all the minutiae that took, you know, don't tell me Twitter, don't tell me this. Tell me exactly what happened. And so I feel like I look at it with a blank page, and on that page I'm writing the story. So I want to have the facts, and there are times where I'll tell them, you even missed where this happened. Or you didn't write, you know, when this occurred? The who, what, when, where, why are so simple, yet you get so tied up in those facts that people say the media, you know, is right or left. You just have to stick to the basics.
What are some traits that our listeners can take into their news-finding journeys? You know, one way to make sure you're getting the truth is to have trustworthy sources, of course. But when I'm there and I'm reading an article, how do I learn to incorporate information objectively?
I would say a lot of times is do your research. Take one article for what it says and then turn around and Google it.
So just like Google something maybe of the opposing view of what
exactly
that article was.
You're
and
going
read both
to go back, you know, go 180 and kind of go back and see like what are they saying on the other side, and what does this really mean? And then look for a trusted source that you go towards. You know, if it's a national story, I would say USA Today, I would say The Times, someone like that that's got a good opinion on things, Reuters, someone who doesn't really have a view and is just there to give you the facts. It is so easy these days to fall into, you know, clicking a story on Facebook, and it's completely false. Mm. I saw one the other day that said all Hobby Lobbies are shutting down. And I actually messaged the person privately, and I said, I just want to let you know that you have shared fake news. And I want, you know, you to be aware, because you're influencing all of your followers.
Yeah.
And then that click that someone does gets that story even higher and even higher. And then you, before you know it, you see me doing a story telling you, guess what? Hobby Lobbies are not closing, you know, compared to what you may have read on Facebook.
Ashley Thornton, who does the Act Locally Waco show, and I talked to a class at McLennan last week. Professor Steve Swanson has a new media class, and they had us come in to talk about how we use social media, me with Waco Business News, her with Act Locally. And what Ashley and I were both impressing upon these students was the responsibility that we all have of social media. And, you know, maybe you have 1,000 followers on Facebook, and no, not all of them really care about what you say. Some of them is your grandma's next door neighbor who watches her cat when she
exactly.
goes out of town. But the understanding that even if no one's listening, you have a responsibility to not be polluting the internet, polluting the world with this fake news and this garbage. And that's something that we deal with in 2017 that wasn't an issue 10 or 15 years ago.
No, it wasn't. And here's a great example. So the Mars chocolate, there was a fire at the Mars chocolate facility. Some people reported that Mars chocolate was on fire. It was a 2-alarm fire. When you hear that, you think, oh my goodness, this whole place is going to blow up and we're going to be, you know, all with candy. Wrong. That fire was actually on the loading dock, never even entered the building. Yet if you go back and read the headlines of what people shared, even the posting before the headline, let's say your headline is correct. Now we go to share it. I'm going to post a little blurb ahead of that. And if I had to make sure, I actually corrected myself before I posted it to say, a fire at the loading dock at the Mars chocolate factory is on fire. Because if I had just said a fire at the Mars chocolate factory, well, then you're thinking it's the whole building.
All the Snickers
thinking,
bars are gone.
Yeah, you're thinking all these employees may be out of a job. Now you're thinking national news. You know, national news is going to come and swoop in on this. And then to only find out it was 6 trailers in a loading dock. Mm. It's the small, it's the devil in the details.
Yeah, well, that's something that you've learned over years of covering the news, and specifically here in Waco. How has your job changed given sort of this resurgence of life and activity in downtown?
I think it changed a lot, because when I first got here, I would say that it was okay that I went to bed at 6 o'clock at night because nothing was happening in Waco.
And so
but I wasn't
what year
missing
was this
anything.
That you arrived?
2011.
Okay.
Yeah, 2011 I was here, and I just kind of thought, there's nothing that I'm missing, so it's fine to go to bed. And now, obviously, this place is booming, and there's always something going on. I'm at a lot of events and a lot of different things. I'm involved with a lot of stuff, but I do think things have changed in the fact that I now have to stay on top of the local bloggers, the small businesses that are coming up and down. And so talking with our team and our crew on how to cover and encompass that. Waco's changing. The old Waco is not what it used to be now. The people who are coming to Waco want to see the new Waco across the board, not just in the downtown area. And so you've really got to show them what we have to offer. Because if they go, you know, if you show them the wrong story, or if they feel like, oh, that's not what I came here for, that's not the Magnolia effect, you know, they're going to be disappointed. And you want to give them the best foot forward.
You're listening to Downtown Depot here on 103.3 KWBU-FM. I'm speaking with Taina Maya of KWTX. When you talk about Waco and how much it has changed and the perception of people, what is your Waco? What are the things, the places you go, the like spots that you like to shop that really inform your image of this community?
I love small businesses. I probably will tell you I'm only in a Dillard's if it's a shoe sale or at the MAC makeup counter with my girl Erin. Otherwise, you'll find me at Amelia's Fashion Exchange. I'm a huge resale person.
Cool.
Clothesline. I will be at the one off of Laker. I can't think of it right now. I can't think of it. Another Season Consignments. There it is.
Oh, that's right.
I'm all about finding the deal. I'm a mom with two kids. Living on a TV income, you can Google that if you want to. It's not much. And so you've got to be able to, you know, figure out how you can make your dollar stretch. We're expected to have this huge, you know, closet, this huge amount of makeup and hair products all at our leisure. It's not that at all. I have a huge closet. It's because I got everything there for $5 to $20. I love the Findery recently. They've been, you know, really cool as far as in the downtown area.
They've been a huge addition downtown.
Yeah, they really are. And they've stepped up in their clothing game. And I talked to them about it. I said, hey, these are like weekend clothes. I said, if you want to get the locals to come back here, this needs to be something that is going to be Monday through Sunday.
Hmm.
And so it's now you've got a wider variety. I think it's just about people voicing their opinions. You'll probably find me the most, though, at my second love, which is the Advocacy Center.
So I love the Advocacy Center. I've always had a heart for fighting for victims of domestic violence and abuse. And we've been so happy to do a couple things with them for Pokios. But talk a little bit about the Advocacy Center and exactly how you're helping them move their mission forward.
So I got brought on just by asking to help plan an event with Kim Mulkey. And they just said, you know, we need a media liaison. Would you mind filling the spot? And so I sat in and did the planning. 5 years later, I'm now president of the board of the Advocacy Center, which is incredible. I couldn't believe. I said, I'm 29. Are you sure? Are you sure you want to trust me with this huge, you know, task? And so it's a big responsibility, which I'm honored to take. I talk about crime every day. In some form or fashion. This is truly the only way that I can give back to people, by supporting an organization that gives back to any victim of crime, to any woman who's had her purse pulled off her arm and now walks, you know, holding it on her shoulder. There is someone there who can help you with free counseling. To a child who is traumatized after a break-in and wants to sleep next to mom and dad or in their bed, there is free counseling available. To a victim of sexual assault, there is free counseling available. I can't help any other way. I can't go and knock on all those victims' doors. This is the only way I can help. And that's why I love this agency. Yeah.
How do you determine how to spend your time? Because as someone in your position and people know that you're philanthropically driven, you're getting pulled from ultimately from 10 different directions at the same time. How do you sort of narrow down, this is a great cause, but not really something I can spend my time on, versus this is something that I'm really ready to invest in?
I have a rule. If I can't give 100%, I can't be in it. And I had to make that rule when I realized probably 2 years ago that every day of my work week was taken up after work and I had no time for myself. You have to find time for yourself, because when you take on being the voice for a cause, you are taking on almost the stress and the worry of that cause. You have to be able to take a moment and breathe. I have my babies, the Advocacy Center. I'm also involved in the Women's Auxiliary for Salvation Army. I also do a little bit of work with Avance. And those are probably my biggest babies. Fuzzy Friends, because I got my dog there. I'll do anything for them because I love my s'mores. But, you know, I think I'll speak to different events and I'll tell them, I can help in this essence, but I can't chair or I can't be involved with your actual day of event planning. And I've said no. It's hard. My husband said, you have to say no. That was the hardest thing for me, saying no.
Yeah, but at least you can come out and know that, honestly, this is the reason why I can't do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and those people understand that, well, yeah, maybe Tyena can't be here because she's busy being the best morning anchor in Central Texas and the litany of other things you have on your plate.
I normally tell them pretty much I've got 5 different events happening right now and I'm so sorry. And I try to be as accommodating and find someone who can help them with what they're looking for. And I always encourage people, you know, even if I can't be of help, you know, let me know about the station, because the station, obviously, with the morning buzz, we can help with anything. We can always give someone some time to get the word out there, to tell about an event, just new things happening, which I think there are so many things happening. I don't even have the time to research and call on all the things that are happening in this town.
Well, there's a ton going on here, whether it was in 2011 when you started covering the news here in Waco and the rise of Baylor, now with Magnolia, and I feel, of course, Magnolia and Fixer Upper is still huge, but it seems like that's not the only thing that's happening. There's a ton more that's going on downtown and even outside of downtown, right?
There is, actually. I will say that, you know, I don't know if I'm supposed to spill the beans on this one, but the Brazos River Fest is coming back, which that was huge for a lot of people. I'm working on that. And
so what's the Brazos River Fest?
So I didn't know what it was. Yeah, I didn't know what it was either, but apparently it was a weekend that was like a Friday, Saturday, and I think a Sunday, where they had bands, and it was always on by the river, and they were thinking of doing it by Brazos East, but I think they're moving it to McLean Stadium now. But they'll have Kids Fest. They will have food trucks. It'll be next spring. I don't know the exact day off the top of my head. But they're going to bring bands. They've got a lot of people. Brian from Backstage is on board with us to help us with that. So, you know, also the arts is so big here. I think a lot of people, maybe like yourself, from the Austin area, so creative. And yet there was so many people in Austin and in Dallas that you realize you had to maybe go elsewhere, or they had to go elsewhere. And this has basically now become a stepping stone for getting into those big markets. We have a lot of talented artists, and I mean on different variations, from people, sculptors, artists, from actors, singers, all of your civic theaters. If you haven't been to those places, you're truly missing out.
When you think about Waco in the future, you know, it was pretty different in 2011. It's certainly different now. Where do you see Waco in 20, 30 years from now?
That's a hard question. I hopefully see a Riverwalk. I would love to see that Riverwalk developed. I think that is what Waco's missing, is that you know, place where big hotel chains can come in, or, you know, a food truck can go and expand to brick and mortar. I would love to see more involvement with MCC. That is a hidden gem that a lot of people don't take advantage of or don't even realize is in our area. Everything is Baylor focused. So I think I would like to see MCC shining a little brighter, and our beautiful Lake Waco. I have absolutely wanted to try that every summer. It has flooded, and I've actually never been there, which is so...
You've never been out on Lake
Waco? I've never been out on Lake Waco. If someone has a boat and you want to invite me, I'm here, ready to go.
Downtown Depot listeners, it is time to step up. Tyena Maya needs an invite on your houseboat this summer.
Or I'll do a story on it, because I think it's so sad that I've never been out there. I see it every day, and it's just beautiful staring at me. And the times that I did plan to go, it was over, you know, over its banks and over flooded, so we couldn't go. But I think that this town has a lot going for it. It's going to slowly meddle with the I think it's almost like, you know, San Antonio and Austin. There used to be a big gap in between there.
Yeah.
I think that gap has shrunk, and I think Waco has the ability, if we can get the right, you know, movers and shakers, to once again close that gap. We've got a lot happening here.
Well, she's breaking the news on Downtown Depot. Tyena Maya has never been on Lake Waco on someone's boat, and Brazos River Fest is apparently coming back. Tyena, thank you so much for joining us on Downtown Depot.
Oh, I'm so sad we don't have more time. It was a pleasure, and please invite me back.
That's all the show we have for today, but be sure to come downtown tonight to ring in the first Friday of the month. Bring your dog and participate in the Pup Crawl, where a ton of Waco animal organizations will be downtown with adoptable pets, fun activities, vendors, caricatures, a photo booth, and more. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Waco Business News to stay up to date in between episodes. We'll be back here on Friday, May 19th with a very special guest. I'm Austin Meek, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.